Praise the Lord, everybody. We appreciate you being here tonight. We thank God that His presence is here. 3:17 of 2 Corinthians declared, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So every hindering spirit is bound tonight in the name of Jesus. If you are letting it bind you, it's because you want it to. Where the Lord's Spirit is, there's liberty. So exercise your religious freedom tonight. In Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the singing, and of course we appreciate the offering and all the visitors that are present tonight. We appreciate you coming. God bless you. Everybody smile and say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's keep praying and believing God. How many of you will pledge yourself the rest of this revival that you'll try your best to come early, at least a few minutes early, and go to the prayer room and pray a while before you come into the sanctuary? Would you do that? It'll make a service so much better. And if it's too cold in there or some other excuse you might want, well then just come in here, kneel and pray. It's all right. My house shall be called the house of prayer. Amen? Prayer is in order in the house of God. How we love the Lord tonight. I have no revival in my pocket. I am a man. And I tell you tonight, together we can have a revival. We must work together. I have no program. I can't sing.
Amen.
But at least I acknowledge it. And if the preacher don't come, I sure can't preach. So we're dependent tonight on God's Spirit. And I'm telling you, if the Holy Ghost comes in here, wow, watch out. Hallelujah! That's what makes us so decidedly different, is we yield to the presence of God. And I want you to yield to the presence of God. Let's stand, would you? Praise God. I could have you praise God. I could stand up here and try to get you to worship. But I want you of your own free will to yield to the Spirit of God tonight. I need a blessing. How about you? I want you to be blessed, and I want to be blessed. Let me hear you say, I will lift up mine eyes under the hill. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand.
The Lord is thy shade upon thy right
hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil.
The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil.
The Lord shall preserve thy soul.
The Lord shall preserve thy soul.
The Lord shall preserve thy going out.
The Lord shall preserve thy going out.
And thy coming in. From this time, henceforth, and even forever. Isn't it wonderful to have that kind of God? Oh, hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Oh, how wonderful that is to know that tonight. Thank God. Hallelujah. At Psalms 121, we praise God for that promise. Over 30,000 promises in the Word of God, and all those good ones is what I want.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm asking you tonight to turn with me to the first book of Peter, and I'm going to read from verse 8 through verse 12. My preaching tonight will come mainly from the second book of Corinthians in the fourth chapter, perhaps the fifth chapter, with auxiliary verses. I want you to let your mind be on the Word of God. There are times when we will use several verses to bring forth a point, and we need your undivided attention. I solicit that tonight. I humbly ask you for the reverence of the Word of God, not me. It is very disrespectful for you to go in and out while the Word of God is being preached. I humbly ask you to respect the Word of God tonight. And let it do its work. Hallelujah. Let it do its work. Reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8 through verse number 12. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. That's the kind of gospel I got. Verse 12 again in your hearing tonight. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. With the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things the angels desire to look into. Hallelujah. Let's pray for a move of the Spirit of God tonight. Would you do it? Everybody pray. Pray for the blessing of God. Pray for the Holy Ghost to be poured out in this service tonight. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You may be seated. My message tonight will be entitled Holy Ghost Gospel That Angels Cannot Look Into.
Hallelujah! Good.
Is there any other kind of gospel?
No, never.
Just Holy Ghost Gospel. When I use the term gospel, I'm using it in the sense that it is used in the Bible.
Good tidings
of great joy to all people. Mm-hmm. Not just good advice. The gospel is not a problem. It is a proclamation. The gospel is not an argument. It is an announcement.
Hallelujah.
I have gospel to preach to you tonight. We'll be preaching from the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. I want to remind us all what Jesus had to say. In the book of Mark, the 16th chapter and the 15th verse, and he said unto them, go ye into
all the world.
And preach the gospel to every creature.
He
that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Now, the same commission given in the book of Luke. in the 24th chapter and the 44th verse. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. This is important. Then opened he their understanding. Then opened he their understanding. Amen? And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
Hallelujah.
Again, the Great Commission. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. All things. Again, we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Amen?
Amen.
He gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he said unto them, on and on, I indeed baptize you with water, but rather John barely baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Hallelujah.
And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, while he went up, behold, two men stood beside them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. One more reference. In John chapter 20 and verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. I said all of these scriptures to give you a composite of the Great Commission, to give you the whole story. There's more in the Great Commission than just simply a command to baptize. There is a command that the name is given for remission of sins. There's a command to cast out devils. Hallelujah. And all the signs that follow them that believe. There is a command to remit sins. They're remitted. And if they're retained, they are retained. A command to teach all nations. A command to disciple all nations. Now then, I want to tell you the gospel takes the whole composite reading of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the gospel is the whole teaching of Jesus Christ. We must believe it all. Hallelujah! He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. These signs shall follow them that believe. And baptize in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He was 40 days speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God in Acts 1 and 4. Did his disciples, 10 days after he had spoke these words and they received the Holy Ghost, did they so quickly disobey him? Are we going to charge Peter and Matthew, who wrote 28:19 of Matthew, with purposely disobeying the Lord? Why didn't he stop Peter in Acts 2:38 and say, "Man, you're wrong. It's baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Why didn't he? Because Matthew himself was to write in chapter 16 and 18 that Peter would have the keys to the kingdom. And as the authority was given to him, he knew what the name, singular, N-A-M-E, the name of the Father was. Jesus said in John 5 and 43, "I am come in my Father's name." Matthew knew what the name of the Son was. He wrote in 1:21 of Matthew, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." We know what the name of the Holy Ghost is. The Bible in John 14:26 declares, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." And so when Peter preached water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Matthew didn't raise a fuss. Matthew didn't raise a fuss because he knew the N-A-M-E, name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ. And we know it. And we're going to preach it, aren't we? We have a commission to preach Holy Ghost gospel, which things angels desire to look into. I'm here to tell you, 10:14 of Romans declared, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" You've got to hear something before you can even call on it. The Bible said in 10:13 of Romans, I quoted to you, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Peter quoted it in Acts 2 and 21. "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And also in Acts 9 and 14, when Ananias told the Lord about Saul of Tarsus, he said, "And here hath he authority from the chief priests to bind all them that call on thy name." Now how are you going to call on something if you haven't heard about it? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It has pleased God. 1:21 of the book of 1 Corinthians tells me that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, God has commissioned that by the preaching of the gospel, a mortal man standing in front of you breaking the bread of life, a dying man to dying people. I'm standing here tonight telling you there is but one Holy Ghost gospel. Angels desire to look into it. And it's going to take that kind of a gospel to save your souls. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must have the word of God preached to you. 11 and verse 6 of Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You can give all your money, but you still got to have faith. You can, my friend, give your body to be burned, but you still got to have faith. You can be a good, clean, moral man, but you still got to have faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the reason 2 Timothy 4 and 2 said to preach the Word. And that's the reason preachers must not just tell funny stories. And preachers must not just stand in the pulpit and tell deathbed tales. And must not just tell tear-jerking story and playing on people's emotions. I am not playing on your emotion tonight. I'm going to tell you cold, hard-blooded facts that Jesus came and Jesus died and He rose again. And repentance and remission of sins is being preached in His name, by His name, and through His name, and with His name. And I'm proud to be a Jesus name preacher tonight. Hallelujah! Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Let me summarize. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. You see, the gospel just don't make you feel good. It'll save you. The gospel just don't heal your body. It'll save your soul. You see, the gospel just don't show you how to live as a man and wife, or how to live as a son or daughter, or how to be a good neighbor, or how just to be a good individual. But it'll save your soul. Inherent in the gospel is power to save. Power to save. Power to save. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I present to you tonight the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is intertwined in that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Without the mentioning of Jesus, there is no gospel. Without the mentioning of His death, His burial, and His resurrection, there is no gospel. You can preach a lot of things, but if you don't mention Jesus, you haven't preached. You can sing a lot of songs, but if you haven't sung about Jesus, you haven't sung. You can build a lot of churches, but if you haven't got His name, you don't have anything tonight. It's all in Him. Every last bit of the power of the gospel resides in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord! That's the reason I can assert to you tonight, Galatians 1 and 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now catch this. But though we are an angel from heaven, you hear me, angels? I know you'd like to have this Holy Ghost, but you keep your nose out of our gospel preaching. God said for us mortal men to do the preaching. And I know you'd like to dance in this spirit, but that's for us to do. And I know you're just itching to know what we know and have what we have. But step aside, angels. This is for us mortal human beings that God has devised a plan. Hallelujah. And a program and a way that we can be lifted up. And someday, angel, I'm going to be higher than you are. Someday, angel, I'm going to have a blessing that you'll never possess. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. You read that? Don't give him a fellowship card. Don't put him behind your pulpit. Don't let him teach a class. Let him be accursed. I say there is one gospel. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His death is our repentance. You got to die. I had to die. We got to die out completely to sin. Romans 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Sin is defined in 1 John 3 and 4 as a transgression of the law. It's simply doing something God said, don't you do. And the Bible says in the 5th chapter and 17th verse of 1 John that all unrighteousness is sin. Every last bit of it. That's the reason 6:9 of 1 Corinthians, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then it goes to enumerate a few points. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. What brought us back into real holiness? It was the gospel. The gospel. You see, we transgressed the law of God. Sin is of the devil, and the devil wants you to transgress, but that sin must be destroyed. And here's only one way you can destroy it. Verse 17, chapter 6 of Romans. But God be thanked, not an organization, not a man, but God be thanked, that ye were, that's past tense, that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Let me tell you, the prescription for sin's remedy takes a formula. And Jesus Christ gave it to Apostle Peter in Acts 2 and 38 when he said to repent. Repent is the first step to God. In fact, it precedes conversion. 3:19 of Acts said, repent ye therefore and be converted. I submit to you tonight, you have no choice of the matter. It's turn or burn. It's repent or perish. Jesus said in Luke 13 and 3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent or perish. In fact, the Bible in 17 and 30 of Acts, God winked at ignorance once, but catch this, he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now you may not take what I say tonight, but I represent the regal courts of heaven. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I stand here telling you that God said, you've got to repent. You've got to ask him to be sorry for every sin you've ever committed. He's commanded you to repent.
Hallelujah.
You've got to repent.
Amen.
Matthew 3 and 8 said, bring forth fruit meats for repentance. You can't cry crocodile tears and say, God, I'm sorry that I've been smoking, and then get up and go out and do it again. You can't come down here and say, God, I'm sorry. I cursed and I danced and I gambled and I drunk beer and popped pills and ran around on my wife or my husband, and then go out and do it again. Real repentance is a confessing and forsaking. I think the most singular scripture giving us a definition of repentance is 28:13 of Proverbs. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Real repentance is confessing and forsaking. If you want God, you're going to forsake your sin. If you want the Holy Ghost, you're going to lay down your sin. Some of you try to blame the church that you don't have the Holy Ghost. Blame the preacher. Blame your wife. Blame your husband. Blame your children. Blame your job. Blame your neighbor. You big baby, you. Why don't you put it where the blame belongs? You're the reason why yourself. You haven't died out to sin. When you quit your sin, come on now.
when you quit your sinning and when you take on that name of Jesus. It's a promise you're going to receive it, and God keeps His word. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise the Lord! But you've got to repent. It's the first step to God. Romans 2 and 4 said it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. 3 and 9 of 2 Peter said it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to repent. He wants you to be saved. 1 Timothy 2 and 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Didn't Jesus say in Luke 19 and 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost? Didn't Jesus say in 12:47 of John, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world? Didn't He say in 5:32 of the book of Luke, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to what? To repentance. I'm telling you, you've got to repent. You've got to die out to yourself. That old man's got to be crucified. If you want the gospel to come into your life, the first step is repentance. And the next step is baptism. By immersion. By immersion. Baptism is a burial. 3 tells me of the book of John, and you can read it for yourself, verse 23, that John baptized in Enon near to Salem because there was much water there. 8 and 38 of Acts said of Philip and the eunuch, they went down both into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Baptism is a burial. 6:3 of the book of Romans, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And you don't bury somebody, put in a few clods of dirt on them, and say they're buried. Buried is out of sight. Buried is put under. It comes from the Greek word baptizo, meaning to plunge, to completely overwhelm, and to cleanse by dipping. Baptism is a burial, and there's not but one way you can be baptized, and it's the way the apostles baptized. I'll cast my lot with Paul and Peter any day. I'll go the way that they went. 10 days after the Great Commission, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That word for means unto, or in order to obtain remission of sins. Because the same word for is used by Jesus at the Last Supper when He said, this blood is my, this cup is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And if blood hadn't been shed, and that cup of wine only represented the blood, come on now, and His blood had yet to be shed, and until you're water baptized in immersion in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are not remitted. You are accountable for every one of your ungodly sins. But if you'll take them to the water, and if you'll be baptized in the name of Jesus, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and 12. The name that's above every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in the one to come. Ephesians 1 21. The name of Jesus that every knee's going to bow to, and every tongue's going to confess. Here to Philippians 2 9 and 11. Take that name with you and go to the water and be put under the water in the name of Jesus Christ. That name will remit sin. That name will forgive sin. Amen. Amen. Baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you've had nothing but titles set over you. Father is a title, Son is a title, and Holy Ghost is a title. But there is the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible in Acts 10:43 said, to Him gave all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Name, what name? Jesus' name. That's where remission of sins comes from. Well, in fact, 20:31 of John said, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." I'm saying to you tonight that remission of sins is in the name of Jesus. And until you take it on, I said to you, take it on. God's visiting people to take out of them a people for His name. 15:14 of Acts said so much. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. You're here tonight and you say you're sincere. Well, the Spirit of God is walking these aisles. He wants to take you out of a Trinitarian concept. He wants to take you out of a three-God idea. He wants to take you out of some sort of tradition of your father and your mother that you say three separate and distinct persons in the Godhead. That phrase is not in the Bible. And the word Trinity is not in the Bible. And the phrase God eternally exists in three separate and distinct persons is not in the Bible. And Jesus is here tonight to take out of the world of people for His name, for His name. And if you're ashamed of His name, He'll be ashamed of you when He comes. A bride wears her bridegroom's name. I don't believe in this common law marriage business. I took on the name of Jesus because I am part of His church. The Bible tells me in 3:29 of John, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." Paul said in 11:1 of the book, or rather verse 2, 11:2 of 2 Corinthians, he said, I have given you to one husband, and I have espoused you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He said, "I'm presenting you to one husband, and I'm espousing you a chaste virgin to Christ." You see, Christ told Peter in 16:18 of Matthew, He said, "I will build my church." What's He going to have a church made out of? I read in 5 and 25 and 6 of the book of Ephesians, the Bible said, "Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it." And the literal Greek there means with a bath of water. You know where I got my cleansing? I don't know where you got yours. It wasn't Hail Mary full of grace that cleansed me. No, I know where I got my cleansing. Jesus said you had to be born of water and of the Spirit. And in John 3 and 5, and Titus 3 and verse 5 said He saved us by the washing of regeneration. And 1 Corinthians 6 and 11 said, "But you're washed." Let me tell you where I got washed. I went to the water and I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And it washed my soul that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself. You read that? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I take that church now and I put it over in the book of Revelation, and I read of it in 19:7 of Revelation. "Let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife," oh-ho, "His wife hath made herself ready." And what will His wife have? 22 and 4 said, "They shall see His face," of Revelation, "and His name shall be in their foreheads." His wife is going to wear His name. Where did we get that name? "Whatsoever you do in word or deed," tells me in the book of Colossians 3. Hallelujah! "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." I tell you, I took it on. I'm not ashamed to be part of His bride. I wear His name tonight. I got it in water baptism. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! They took on that in Jesus' name baptism in Acts 2 and 38. In Acts 8 and 16, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 10 and 48, He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 19 and 5, when the Bible said when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 2 and 12 said, "Buried with Him," not them, Him. "Buried with Him in baptism." 3 and 27 of Galatians said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into" who? "Into Christ." "Into Christ. Have put on Christ." Not one place can you find where they use the name or titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in water baptism. Not one place. But I can show you where the Jews were baptized in Jesus' name, where the Samaritans were baptized in Jesus' name. I'll even show you where some people had been baptized one time. And in Acts 19, the Bible said, and it came to pass in verse 1, that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Now, if they'd have been baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they'd have heard of the Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, "Under what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Under John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They got rebaptized. If you haven't been to the water and been put under with the name of Jesus called over you, you have not been baptized. You need to go to this tank tonight. I'm preaching to somebody. You need to go under the water and you need to take on the family name. I said, take on the family name. I wear the family name. My Bible tells me that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. I wear a name tonight, not a bunch of titles. I've got the name of Jesus. Let's praise the Lord, everybody. Holy Ghost gospel is what I'm talking about. Angels desire to look into. We've got the plan that God gave us. The understanding of Matthew 28:19 and Luke 24:44-49 and Mark 16:15, 16:17 and John 20:21, 2 and 3. The whole composite, coupled with Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 11, tells us they did not misunderstand the Lord. And when Peter commanded baptism to be done in the name of Jesus Christ, he knew what he was talking about. And I know what he was talking about, because I've got that name tonight. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. That's what the Bible said in Proverbs 18 and 10. And I've got it. How about you tonight? Amen. The death, the burial, now the resurrection. Jesus came out of the tomb. We know that. And that symbolizes something else. The Bible tells me in the 6th chapter of Romans, in verse 4 and 5, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." That means that you have the experience of the resurrection. I'm saying the Bible speaks of translating us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Before the trumpet ever sounds to catch us out of here, we've had a translation out of the kingdom of Satan, out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of sin, into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of God, which the Bible says in 14:17 of Romans, is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's what it said. In fact, the 6:15 of Galatians said, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." I'm not talking about a rehash or a remake of a reject. I'm talking about a brand spanking new feeling on the inside of you. A new creature you can be made into, my friend. A born again experience. 8 and 9 of the book of Romans said, the Bible said, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Verse 9:10 said, "And if Christ be in you," now notice it said in you. Didn't Jesus say in John 14:18, "I'll not leave you comfortless, I will come to you"? Didn't he say in verse 20 of that same chapter, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you"? Didn't Paul say in Galatians 2:20, "Christ liveth in me"? Didn't 4:6 of Galatians say, "God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father"? And isn't the Holy Ghost called Jesus
in Colossians 1 and 27 when it said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 said, Jesus Christ is in you. Now some of you people need to wake up and listen to me tonight. I'm not preaching some mythical, nebulous, cloudy, fog bank theology. Jesus Christ cannot come inside of you in a bodily presence, in blood and gristle and marrow and bone and brains and ears and old nose and eyes and feet. He's got to come only one way, and that's in a resurrected form of the Spirit. I'm asserting to you tonight, when Jesus ascended on high and led captivity captive, and he chained the monster death to his chariot wheels, and he rolled back into glory as the Comforter, I've got to go back. And that same Jesus that came and walked the earth came on the day of Pentecost. But he didn't come as a babe in a manger. He didn't come as a man riding on a donkey. He didn't come with sandaled feet. You hear this, preacher? On the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ came as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I assert to you tonight, that same Spirit's in this building. That same Spirit's in this building. I've got it. 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 That same Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise the Lord. That's the reason we're not ashamed of the death, burial, and resurrection. Oh, we got it. That's the gospel tonight. Holy Ghost gospel. The gospel that Paul preached, that Peter preached, that this church is preaching, that the Bible stands for. Friend, if you don't have it, you're living beneath your privilege. You can have it tonight. The Holy Ghost can come into you. You say, what do you mean? Haven't you read in 2 Timothy 1:14, the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us? Acts 2 and 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Yet I can show you in Joel 2:28 where God, the first person, the Father, so-called, said, it shall come to pass the last day, said God, I will pour out of my Spirit. And yet Peter got up and said, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. I assert to you the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ. I assert to you that Jesus was Father in creation, Son in redemption, and Holy Ghost in the church. And these three manifestations are one God. His name is Jesus. And when I get to heaven, there'll be one throne, and one's going to sit on the throne. As Zechariah 14 and 9 said, in that day there shall be one Lord, and His name one. I'm not going to go hunting out two other persons in the Godhead. There'll be one Lord. Heaven's His throne. Earth's His footstool. Isaiah 66 and 1. And of Jeremiah 23:24, do not I fill heaven and earth? And that said of Jesus, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1 and 23, and on and on. I assert to you tonight that Jesus Christ is the sum and substance of the gospel. He is the gospel, embodies Him, His name, His death, His burial, His resurrection. I'm so glad I've got it tonight. How about you?
Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah.
4 verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. That's the reason we're not quitting. There's a better experience than shaking a preacher's hand and putting your name in a church book. And join in a church. You can join every church in Pine Bluff and go to hell. You're born into God's church.
Amen.
And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. Psalms 87.
Right.
And the Bible speaks of those that are written in heaven. Hebrews 12, 22, 3 and 4.
Right.
Paul talks to some people in Philippians 4 whose names are in the book of life. And Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10 and 20, rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. If you was to read in the book of Revelation, and you was to read
in the 19th chapter of Revelation, you'd find whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, my friend. The last verse, you can read it. It's important you get your name there. And there's not but one way. You've got to obey the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, everyone, that includes you tonight, to everyone that believeth, both to the Jews and to the Greeks. So, my friend, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you that this gospel is true. And let me say this, that seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. I have not stood up here and walked before you in craftiness. The next phrase said, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. There's preachers, some of them with collars turned around backwards, that will quote only part of the verse. We'll tell you the whole verse. If you can find one place where anybody was ever baptized with the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost spoke over them, we'll let you baptize us that way. But you can't find it. And we're telling you, you must be baptized the Bible way. We will not handle the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. Everybody say truth. Are you interested in truth tonight? Real apostolic truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know tradition, and tradition of your fathers will make you free. Ye shall know history, and history shall make you free. Ye shall have education, and education shall make you free. Ye shall have money, and money shall make you free. Read it. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me tell you, the Bible is all truth tonight. Real truth. By the manifestation of the truth. The Bible tells us how to get it. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have obeyed the truth through the Spirit. You've got to obey it through the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of God. You've got to say, Lord, I want truth. Lead me by your Spirit. That's the reason 16:13 of John could say, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Spirit of truth will guide you and will lead you into all righteousness. God won't deny himself. And if you're interested in truth tonight, you'll accept repentance, water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues, because it's truth. Not because mama rejected it, but because it's truth. Not because your husband or wife or children don't want it, but because it's truth. And this truth is going to stand whenever a church in the town burns and goes back. And let me tell you, this truth is going to stand when empires fall, when presidents come and go, and when you and I go to our graves. This truth is going to stand. Don't you want truth tonight? Bible truth. Thank God for the manifestation of the truth. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel, everybody say our gospel, be hid. It is hid to them that are lost. Don't you understand that? That means you don't have to do one little thing to be lost. Just sit there. As soon as I'm through, just get up and go on out and go home. You're lost. You better get that in your head. I don't care how good and clean and upright and decent and honest you are. You don't have to do a thing to be lost. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And the Bible in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. That's what He was here for, to save sinners. You can be saved tonight. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Lost, friend. Get that in your mind. You die without this gospel, you're going to burn in a lake of fire. You're going to be tormented forever and ever. You're going to be lost while eternity rolls on. While your mother dances on the streets of gold, you're going to be lost. While your wife is in the presence of God forever, you're going to be lost.
While your children have eternal life,
you're going to be lost.
While your neighbor has immortality,
you're going to be lost.
You can't take your money with you. You can't take your friends with you. You can only take yourself into eternity. And all the horror of horrors, to die without God, without hope, and to die lost. There's but one way you can be saved. The gospel's got to save you. The gospel's got to save you. Why don't you come tonight? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Let me hear you say new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what I'm standing here telling you, as a reconciliating ministry. God wants to be reconciled to you. He didn't prepare hell for you. It was for the devil and his angels. If you go there, you're going to have to walk over the roadblock of Calvary. You're going to have to walk over the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. You're going to have to walk over a God-fearing, Bible-preaching church that's trying to flag you down and to stop you tonight. And if you go to hell, it won't be our fault. We're trying to turn you around, backslider. We're trying to turn you around, sinner. We don't want you to be lost. We don't want you to go to hell. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I've been deputized. I've been anointed. I've been authorized by the gospel to tell you some good news. You don't have to die lost. You don't have to wake up in hell. You don't have to go to your grave without the Holy Ghost. I've been deputized to bring some good news to you. Jesus said he loves you. Jesus says he wants to forgive you. Jesus says he wants to fill you with his Spirit. Hallelujah! Jesus says he wants to redeem you tonight. And he wants to reconcile you tonight. If you'll come time, he'll save your soul.
Yes, he will. Glory.
Let's praise God, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Praise him tonight.
Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You look at me, a man standing in front of you. Nothing. I honestly acknowledge that. I'm nothing. But by virtue of the power in the name of Jesus, and the power that is inherent in the gospel, I can stand here and promise you something. I'm a man. I can't give you the Holy Ghost. There's not a way in the world I can forgive your sin. But I can promise you something. If you come to this altar and repent, and you go to the water and be baptized in Jesus' name, he will fill you with the Holy Ghost baptism. If you'll seek him with all of your heart. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us. You know what that means? You're looking at me, but really God's standing here tonight. You're listening to my poor worn out vocal cords, but if you only knew, this is God talking tonight. I haven't submitted to you anything else but the Word of God. I haven't paraded before you man-made knowledge. I've given you what God said. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's stand in Jesus.
Hallelujah to God. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord.
I want you to pray. Raise your hands and pray for a minute tonight. I want you to pray. God, I want you to move tonight. I feel their souls here tonight that's lost. Lord, give them the understanding in your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You say, I don't feel anything, preacher. Bible didn't say he that believeth and feels something shall be saved. It said he that believeth and is baptized. Angels will not tug on your coat sleeve. Now mark this preacher well. Unless God speaks to me, I will not be back there trying to beg you to this altar. I've presented to you life and death. You can come and be saved tonight. In fact, it's an act of faith if you'll march out right now and take God at His word.
Hallelujah.
And say, Jesus, here I come. With all of my low-down sins, here I come. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4 and 16 said that. Why don't you take that as your personal verse tonight? It said, boldly come. Why don't you square your shoulder and say, here I come. Jesus, you said I could come. Here I come. I need help, and only you can give it to me. Why don't you step out right now? In the name of Jesus, backslider, you that need the Holy Ghost, sinner, I preach to somebody here tonight. Why don't you come right now?
Oh God.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bow your head with me. Oh God, I pray tonight in the name of the Lord. Open the minds and the hearts of these people to understand your word. If I was you tonight, I wouldn't leave this place until I came and surrendered my life to God. I wouldn't leave here tonight without giving God my heart. You may never get another chance. I may be preaching to some of you for the last time. How can you have a right to hear the gospel twice to everyone's heard it at least once? Come to Jesus. Come to Him. Kneel at this altar in humble contrition. Come to Jesus. Would you step out right now? Would you renounce your sin and come right now? Would you accept the Word of God and come right now? In the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Raise your hand.